How many people like getting surprises? Love surprises? Love surprises? Well, once upon a time there was a big movies came out, and they often came out around New Year's, which was really cool because I have a birthday on the 30th of December. And so for many, many years, my family would take me to see the first release of movies like Lord of the Rings, 1, 2, and 3. Star Wars, 1, 2, 3. Well, they weren't born then, so 5, 3, one, whatever ones that were available. And then the recent one that came out, which was all around my birthday, was The Hobbit. So my wife, who's not into Lord of the Rings or Star Wars, I know, Brendan, I'm trying to convert her, but she's not into it anyway, shape or form, doesn't even like the cartoon version, not a fan. So, but she would come along because, you know, this is her husband and she wants to support her husband. And she knows well and truly that Lord of the Rings was 3 volumes, right? 1, 2, and 3. Although I have got a collector's version of Lord of the Rings, which is actually in 5 volumes. So we could have had 5 movies according to those 5 volumes. There's a few little extra bits that Tolkien put into those ones. But everyone knows The Hobbit is one book. One book is The Hobbit. So how many people would assume one movie? Yes. How many think it should have only been one movie? Well, my wife and my 2 daughters come and take me to The Hobbit, and we're watching The Hobbit, and it's a long movie, and the journey's going, it's going, and then the movie ends. And the whole room is just quiet. Like this. And my wife goes, "That's the end? Are you telling me there's another movie?" She was so surprised that they were making 3 movies out of this one book. And she goes, then as we're walking out, she goes, "I'm not coming back to the next 2. I've watched enough of The Hobbit. That's it. I'm done." Well, today we're starting a series that will take us right through to Christmas. And we're using this book as the version for this story that we're going to use. It's a big book, this one, isn't it? How would you like to carry that one around in your backpack? So this book, we know it as one book, don't we? Some of us might say, yes, but Donnie, it's actually 2 books. It's the Old Testament and the New Testament, so there's 2 sections to it. Some of you who are more knowledgeable think there's actually how many books? 66. Oh, you're a knowledgeable bunch. You must be Baptists. People of the book. The book. All right, so 66 books written by... not good Baptists. Hey, the City Tabernacle would know the answer. How many authors? 40. Very good, Dan. Yeah, pretty close to 40. We'll take 40. That's a good answer. We'll give you a chocolate. All right. Actually, no, because I don't have any. I gave them all away. I don't even have Chubba Chubs. Actually, I think your dad took my last... No. So 40 approximate authors are in this book, but they come from a variety of backgrounds because it's written over a period of how many years? Lots. Yeah, okay, we'll go lots. Thousands. It's written over a long period of time. Amazing. That starts here and a whole bunch of different people write it and put it together. And guess what? It makes sense. From Genesis right through the book of Revelation, there are themes that go all the way through. Amazing. That a king, a shepherd, a fisherman, a poet, a songwriter, a tax collector, a doctor, who's preaching here? A doctor. A whole bunch of different people from different backgrounds, raised in housing commission, in high palaces, got to and wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and brought about this book, the Bible. And we're going to start one of the themes. The themes that we're going to start today that are going to take us right through to Christmas, you ready for this? Is the GSP. We're going to be looking at the GSP. Anyone know what the GSP is? Great personal sacrifice. Yes, that's a good answer though, but I've gone GSP. GSP. God's salvation plan. I love it. God's salvation plan starts in the book of Genesis and goes right through. It's incredible. It's amazing. Some people say you can't write this stuff. Well, it took 40 people under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit over many, many years to come up with 66 books that speak into our lives. At K2, we've been going through a whole bunch of series from the Bible Project, delving into it, and it's opening my eyes to certain things. These guys are coming out with stuff, and I'm going, I didn't learn that at Bible college. That's amazing. So it's been brilliant. So K2 every fortnight. So we met last Wednesday, so we'll meet again in not this Wednesday, next Wednesday. So it's all very, very good. So we've got amazing people coming together. One of the people that do a big chunk of the Bible are these people called prophets. Prophets. These are people that walk into places and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Well, in the Old Testament, anyway, a few in the New Testament. The few people walking around these days think they're prophets, but these guys are incredible prophets. So much came true. All, in fact, came true from what they said. This is Isaiah chapter 11. How many people have read the book of Isaiah? Yeah, not an easy read, but amazing if you delve into it. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 11, and we're going to read a few verses. We're going to concentrate mainly on the first one for the start of this God's spiritual plan, salvation plan. Ooh, I got it wrong. God's salvation plan. But it says in verse 1, "A shoot will come up out of the stump of Jesse, and his roots, a branch, will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not be judged by what he sees with his eyes, or decide what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist." Sounds like a pretty amazing person, doesn't it? And we know this person from Isaiah chapter 11 as Jesus. God's plan for you and for me. God's salvation plan. From this, out of the stump of Jesse, we get David, and we follow that plan all the way through to Jesus. The messianic line is what we call it. And it starts, though, not just with Jesse, but it goes right back to the very beginning of time. So if you have your Bibles, anyone need one for today? I'm not going to hold this one all. This one would be Exercise Charlie, you know, using this one. Anyway, I'm going to stick with this little one because I'm not that fit. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. Let's start right back at the very, very beginning. Genesis chapter 1. And we get these beautiful words shared to us. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Isn't that amazing? God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if you go into this, and we're not going to go into it great detail today because we're going to jump around a little bit, so keep with me. But in Genesis, at the end of every day, God says something. What does he say? "And it was good." It was good. Can you imagine that? It was good. Now, while I've been on holidays, and thank you very much for those that have come up and welcomed me back and said, "Hey, great, did you have a good holiday?" And if you got a little bit of a, you know that phrase, "a change is as good as a holiday"? It's a lie. I had a change. I didn't come to work. I didn't go into RI. I didn't teach mainly music. I went down to my mum's. We're still packing up stuff. My goodness, my mum. She had so much stuff. I found a box on Thursday. And in this box was a whole bunch of my models that I made as a little boy. Models of MiG fighter planes, of Spitfires, of Messerschmitts, of the Hind. Anyone know the Hind? It's a boat. Very good. I'm impressed. A sailing boat. A three-mast sailing boat. I think Spanish from memory. Can't remember. And of my big Mack truck that I made, it was over 4,000 pieces, about this big. And it was all in pieces. My mum had put it in a box and it just all sat there. Since I was a kid. It all went in the bin. All gone. So a whole bunch of other stuff we found. I found some stuff from my primary school days. I don't know what I did in the mapping classes. Was that geography? Did we do geography at school? Yeah. Grade 3 geography. I could give grade 3 kids my geography book. There was not one thing done in it. It had a beautiful brown paper, you know, brown paper. It, that was what it was wrapped in. And it had a mapping book on the front of it. And you open it up and it's like pristine. Perfect. I must have been at cricket practice or something. I don't know. So mapping wasn't one of my classes. But the reading book, that was filled in. And I got up to, I think, aqua level, which was level 6 out of 15. So reading wasn't one of my big things. But we got there in the end. So in the beginning, God created. And he said, it was good. It was good. In fact, at the very end of it, he says, it was very good. In verse 9. Let me just read to you from verse 9 in chapter 2. So we're jumping over the page here. Chapter 2, verse 9. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two trees in the garden. Well, there was lots of trees, but there was two big ones in the middle of the garden, right in the middle, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so that's what we learn in verse 9. But we also learn a little bit later in chapter 3 when Satan comes on the scene and he grabs hold of Eve and he has a word to Eve. Has a word to Eve. And he tempts her. And he uses some of the words that God has used already in the second book of Genesis. And Eve looks at the tree. And she sees that the fruit is good. Fruit is good. Knowledge is good. Knowledge is good. Knowledge is understanding that a tomato is a fruit. That's knowledge. But wisdom tells you don't put it in a fruit salad. Okay? You put it on a sandwich. All right? So knowledge is good, but there was also something else that was there, wasn't it? It looked good to the eye. It looked good to the eye. How many of us have ever got in trouble from the look of the eye? Have we got... I'm not talking about dirty looks here, Randall. But I'm talking about you look at something, you go, oh, wow, I want that, I want that. You know, so much sin comes into our lives from what we see and what we understand. And what actually we want to see pleased in our lives. And then we become the boss, don't we? We go, I want that, I want that, I want that. So verse 3, let's have a look at chapter 3, verse 3. Says, but did God, this is the devil saying, Satan saying to the woman, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. And in verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And then she gave it some to her husband who was also with her and he ate it. And their eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig trees to leather, and they have made coverings for themselves. So we have a situation here in the garden where God says, you can do everything. You can name all the animals. You can roam around the garden. You can walk with God in a beautiful relationship, and there's only one thing you can't do. One thing. You can't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's the only thing you couldn't do. Anyone want to have a look and see if I'm right? There's one thing you couldn't do. Now, in RI on Friday afternoon, I'm going through a little bit of this because we're getting to the whole Jesus story in RI as well. And I said this to the kids, grade 5 kids. I said, now in the Bible, there's two trees. And the teacher goes, two trees? I thought there was only one tree. And I said, no. If you have a look, and told the teacher, and she's Googling the Bible while she's checking out whether I was right or not, making sure I was teaching the right things to her kids in RI. Anyway, so there's two trees. And the kids go, man, if someone tells me I can't do it, guess what I want to do? I want to do it. How many of us have ever seen someone paint? And then when they're finished painting, they put up a sign that says, do not touch, wet paint. How many of us have gone along going, oh, yeah, it's wet paint. How about that? One of my daughters, I won't say which one, we were told that we told her that we were boiling up some eggs and we said, that's really hot, don't touch it. Ah, yeah, Dad, it's hot. I burnt my head. You know? How many of us have ever done that? Don't do it, I think I want to do it. I tried that psychology with my kids. I said, don't do your homework. Don't get married when you're 18. Get married when she's 26. So God places a choice in the garden. There was a yes and there was a no. How many of us know that in God's spiritual plan, there's always been a yes and a no, all the way through it? A yes and a no. I got a little tract that I got on my desk when I was cleaning up. I found it, and it says, today, two choices before you. Either you're fit and well, or you're sick. If you're fit and well, hey, praise God. If you're sick, you've got two choices. If you're sick, you're going to get better, or you're going to die. If you get better, yay! If you're going to die, yay. There's a few yays if you die. But if you're going to die, then you need to A, know God, or not know God. So it's two choices all the way through. Two choices. Very evident that God's spiritual plan was real. Now let's jump forward. So we got Genesis. There's the story of Genesis. I just want to go back to one verse in Genesis, and I want to point this out very loudly and clearly. After man and woman took that fruit, God comes into it and he has a chat to them, and they get caught. And have you ever got caught doing something wrong? Yeah. I was at coffee the other morning with coffee and chat up here at Urban, and the guys were talking about getting speeding tickets. The women weren't talking about getting speeding tickets. The men were talking about getting speeding tickets. And I put up my hand and said, yeah, I got a speeding ticket once. And the story goes very simply, and I won't go into great detail, but in the afternoon I was talking to my friend who's a police sergeant, and he was telling me all about the new radar guns that were coming out, the Mark II radar guns. And the Mark II radar gun could get you from 2.5, 3 km away. The Mark I radar gun was only good around 1 km. And so that night, it just so happens that I'm running late to touch football. I've got a car full of young people, and I'm heading down the Southeast Freeway, and I'm going a little bit quicker than the speed limit, 5, 10, a little bit quicker than the speed limit. And I'm going past, and all of a sudden in the future, I see this policeman on a motorbike just sitting there, and he's got a gun, and he hits me with it. And I'm going, oh, look at the speedo. And I go past him, and he puts his gun down and jumps on the bike and flies after me. And I go, drats. And so when I pull over, I get out of the car and I go straight up. It's what I usually do with police. Apparently you're not meant to do this, so don't. I get out of the car and I walk up and say, hey, buddy, what's up? Because I'm still late for touch football. I still want to get there. And I said, mate, what's up? And he said, I caught you speeding. And I said, well, mate, maybe you did. And he goes, what do you mean? I got you. Here's the speed. And I said, well, mate, maybe if that's a Mark One, I think you were at least 1.5 km away from me when you got me. And the Mark One is not a reliable speed gun. And he's looking at me going, what? And then he goes, and then I go, but if you've got a Mark Two, then the Mark Two is a lot more reliable. And if you got me with the Mark Two, because I'm thinking they're just out, surely he hasn't got a Mark Two. And if he's got the Mark Two, then guess what? And he looks at me and goes, what's that say? Mark II. Okay, you got me. But don't we argue the point? How many? Am I the only one that argues the point? When you get in trouble, did you do this? No, it was my brother. Did you do this? No, it was my wife. You know, do we do that? Well, Adam and Eve do that to God, and they have a little bit of discussion, and God lays down the penalty, the consequences, whichever way you want to look at it. And it says this, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. This is between Satan and mankind. And then it says this very, very clearly. Now, I want you to just raise your hand in the air. Can you just raise your hand in the air? Okay, cool. The reason why I got you to put your hand in the air is because I want to make sure you're awake. Okay, just because sometimes people fall asleep. Just put your hand in the air. You're awake. Okay, good. Because I've actually preached on this before. And my daughter was in the house that day. And then, 12 months later, she goes over to YWAM. And she gets some teaching from YWAM. And she rings me up and she said, "Dad, Dad, did you know that Jesus is in Genesis chapter 3? And I went, "Yes, in fact, I've preached on that." Ah, I mustn't have listened that day. I must have been asleep. So I'm just making sure you're awake, because here it is. "And he will crush your head and you will strike his heel." That's referencing Jesus. Jesus is going to crush the enemy's head. He's a defeated foe. Right from Genesis chapter 3, Jesus is mentioned. Ties it right in. God's salvation plan is right there. You believe me? All right, let's see. Let's back it up. Just don't believe me on one point. Now we're going to jump over to Luke chapter 1, which was beautifully read by Trish this morning. In chapter 1 and in verse 32, and it says, "And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will have no end." It will never end. Now, who's saying these words? Who's saying these words? An angel. An angel is saying these words, and who are these words going to? Mary. So in Luke chapter 1, Mary is pregnant with Jesus. How about that? Isaiah got it right in chapter 11. Jesus is out of the stump of Jesse. Jesus is the one who's coming. Hear it. Jesus is the one. Now, as Pastor Donnie got it right in Genesis chapter 3, let's go backwards again, which was already read, in John chapter 1. And it says this, "In the beginning." Hold on a sec. Have you heard those three words today? Where were they? Genesis chapter 1. "In the beginning was God, and he created the heavens and the earth and all that is in it." Here we got, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning." You get the point? So who's there? Jesus. Jesus is there. He's in the garden. He's at the creation. He's there from the very beginning. So when God has a salvation plan, it starts at the beginning and it goes all the way through. Let's just read a little bit on. Today, they're going up to verse 2 upstairs. "And he was with God in the beginning." Verse 3, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." What was Jesus going to do? He was going to crush the serpent. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. The enemy does not overcome you. You are overcomers. If Jesus is in your life, you are overcomers. The choice is Jesus in your life. Is Jesus in your life? And if he is, the darkness is not a thing to worry about. If he is, then the enemy is not something you worry about. If he is, then God's salvation plan is at work in your life. You are saved, you are being saved, and when you stand before God, you will be saved. There is a work and a plan that God has for each and every one of us. Let's get on the plan. We're going to be going right through the Old Testament, right into the New Testament, and we're going to unpack this, same as what they're doing upstairs. Now, if you've got kids upstairs, then you're going to get given the devotions, and you're going to have lots of stuff. In those packs, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you can look online. There's a huge amount of information. For those of you who want to go into all the devotions on every day, then you can. There's a whole bunch of them in there, 29 different devotions online. So we're going to hand them out. If you don't have kids but you want to do this, you want to go, "Hey, this is going to be an amazing journey. This is going to give me some great knowledge and understanding through this," then jump on board. We'll make the devotions all available for everybody. And if you're creative, then you can make the little things at home and put them on your Christmas tree. If you're not, then get Dan, and Dan will make them for you, won't you, Dan? See? Hands up in the air, everybody. Okay, good. Good. Yes, I know, Dan. I know. All right. In wrapping this up, sorry, Dan. As wrapping this up, there's a challenge before each of us in God's spiritual salvation plan. There's choice, yes or no. The cool thing is that choice is available to us every day. We get to say, "Yes, I'm going to follow Jesus today. Yes, I'm going to get into prayer. Yes, I'm going to get into your word. Yes, I'm going to see this amazing book, and I'm going to study it, and I'm going to reflect on it, and I'm just going to let it get into my very, very being, because it changes lives. It's incredible. So you've got a choice today and every day to jump on board. The Jesse Tree is going to be an amazing journey, and I'd love you to come on with us. If you need anything, let us know. We'll send it out via the email system. We'll see if we can put it online. We'll do a whole bunch of different things there. Okay? It's important to get these things as the basis in our lives. One of the really cool things about RI at the moment is I've got a class that Claire had last year, and Claire has been phenomenal at teaching the kids the Lord's Prayer. And all these kids in my class know the Lord's Prayer back to front. They know it. They know it with actions. They know it with a dance. They know it unconditionally. They know the Lord's Prayer. They've seen God at work in their lives, because when it comes to give us this day our daily bread, she got them to put up their hands and say, so what do you need in your life? And the kids were asking God for these needs in their lives. Really cool thing is, in my group on Friday, I had a little boy at the very end of the class said, Donnie, everything you've got on the blackboard makes sense, but I don't believe God's real. I can't see God. I can't touch God. I can't hear God. So therefore, God is not real. But that little boy knows the Lord's Prayer back to front. Has God got a hold of him? Yeah. God has got a hold of him. The Holy Spirit is at work. And he had enough courage to put his hand up in front of all his classmates and say, I don't believe in God. How many of us know that when that happens, that gets God's attention? That little boy has got God's attention. So if you can pray for him in my class, you don't need to know his name, God does. You can just say, God, that little boy in Donnie's class, and the guy goes, yes, I know who he is. Then you can pray for him. There's a choice. Yes, no. Do you want to get to know God? Let's go. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity of coming together. Thank you for the opportunity of being here. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you that we can read it. Thank you that we can understand it. Thank you that you can bring it alive into our very being. Thank you that today, right now, Lord God, the kids are upstairs grabbing hold of these things, memorizing John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I pray, Lord God, that as the Word of God gets into us, we will let you reign more and more. More and more. So saying yes to you, Lord Jesus, will be easier and easier and easier until it becomes second nature. Oh, Lord God, keep doing a work of transformation in and through our lives as we open ourselves to the work of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.